from 1 Corinthians 13, chapter verses 1 through 13, which were read in your hearing. And we're talking today about God is. Amen?
Amen.
It's good to know simply that God is. We talk about love in the month of February. We should talk about love in January and March and April and May and June and July and August and September and October and November and in December too, because love is not just reserved for February. Amen. The whole foundation of everything that we believe in is talking about, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Love has everything to do with it. Amen. It was said at some point in song, what's love but a secondhand emotion? Y'all act like you've been saved forever. Come on. Tina said it better than anybody else. What's love got to do with it?
That's right.
Come on. And that's not a question that you ask someone you're in a serious relationship with. Amen. So don't go home and say, Sister Crystal, don't say, Melvin, what's love got to do with it? You don't say that to somebody that you're in a relationship with, or you'll soon not be in one. Amen. But the question is answered with, love has everything to do with everything.
That's right.
Love is what they say makes the world go around, right? Come on, love will make you go farther than you've ever gone. It'll make you try harder than you've ever tried. It will make you achieve things that you've never thought possible. Right? Amen. When you're courting someone and that someone finally says, I love you, you can be 5'7" and 130 pounds and you'll say, let me get those grocery bags for you. And you know you can't lift them, but you'll pick those things up. You will do things that you didn't think that you could do before when love comes into the equation. Amen. It will cause you to stand a little taller, move a little stronger. Amen, somebody. Come on. It'll make you laugh. It will make you cry. And it'll give you every other emotion in between those things that are known to mankind.
Amen.
Numerous songs have been written about it since the beginning of time. Come on, love songs are the ones that people remember, and they're the ones that stand out, right?
That's right.
Come on, but 1 John says something different. We always go into other things. Let's go to the Bible. The Bible in 1 John 4, 7 and 8 says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knoweth God. It says, He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love.
Yes, yes.
That's the Bible. Right. Anywhere you read the word love in the Bible, you can insert God's name.
Yeah.
Right.
Most of us, we think we know about love, but actually there are four types, right?
Yeah.
Philia is love between friends. Eros is the sense of being in love. And storge is affection or love of family. But agape is unconditional love.
All right.
And that's the kind of love that God has for us.
Well,
unconditional. It doesn't matter how God may feel that day. He still loves you. Amen. Well, regardless of whether we give him appropriate praise and thanks, he still loves us. Come on, somebody. That is unconditional love. There is nothing like the love of God. Agape love, the true essence of love, is that God's love is offered to us unconditionally. You missed that. It has the power to heal every heart. It has the power to heal every hurt and everyone that it comes in contact with. God's love will scale the highest mountain or descend into the lowest valley. In the deepest sea, there is no place that God's love is not already there before we get there. Are you with me? God is love. You ought to shout hallelujah. God's love is wherever you go. If you've already gone into the pit, if you're down in despair, God's love was already there to cushion your fall when you got there. When you get so high and you get high, God's love is already there to bring you down just a little bit more into reality. Wherever we go, side to side, up or down, God's love is already there before us, and it's unconditional, and you ought to tell him thank you. Corinthians says in the Message Bible, if I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but I do not love, I am nothing more than the creaking of a rusty old gate. If I speak God's word with power and I reveal all the mysteries, making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, move, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I am still nothing at all. If I give everything that I own to the poor and go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I do not love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, what I do, I'm bankrupt without love.
Amen.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
You can be the wealthiest person financially in the room, but if you don't love, you are bankrupt.
Amen.
Can I get a witness with that?
Yes.
Love never gives up. Come on. Love cares more for others than it does itself. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut around. Love doesn't have a swelled head. Love doesn't force itself on others. It isn't always me first. It doesn't fly off the handle. It doesn't keep score of the sins of others. It doesn't revel when others grovel. It takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. Love puts up with anything. Trust God always, always looks for the best. Love doesn't look back, but keeps on going to the end.
Amen.
That's real love.
Yes.
Come on, we live in a fast-paced world, don't we?
Yeah.
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Never in the history of the world has there ever been more avenues or devices to communicate on.
Yeah. All right.
And everybody wants to get a word out. Everybody wants their peace. Everybody wants to speak their mind. Everybody has a cause and a message. Everybody is so easily offended that we have to be so careful what we say. I'm not going to be that one. I'm going to be the dude that tells you the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. If the Bible says no, I'm not with it. Amen. If you don't like it, take it up with Jesus. Come on, somebody. In all this stuff, we have tweets and all of these things that are being said on a daily basis. But where's the positive message? Where's the love in the message? Where is the brotherly love on display?
Mm-hmm. All right, now.
I believe there's never been a time when people have more of an edge to get a word out, but they just stay on edge and they don't get a word out.
Yep.
I'm talking to me too, so you know. Tempers are short.
Yeah.
Patience is thin.
Yeah.
Our time seems to be more valuable than anybody else's.
Yeah.
Or so we think, right?
Amen.
And I've suffered from that. I felt that my time is more valuable than yours. I've even said to people, you don't know what I do on a daily basis. But it's not their problem what I do on a daily basis, because their time is just as important as mine.
Amen.
If you think about it, it's the most valuable possession that we have. It's one thing that we can never, ever get more of, no matter what. Come on.
Yeah.
We can't control how much of it we have. And everybody needs to waste it unless it's someone else's.
Amen.
James 4 says, James 4 and 14, in the Household Bible says, if you don't even know what tomorrow will bring, what your life will be, for you're like a smoke that appears for a little while, and then vanishes. The King James Version of the Bible says it's like a vapor. With so little time and the preciousness of it, I'm asking you, what are we doing with it, and why aren't we doing more with it? I'm going to give you scripture today. I want you to go home and read Daniel 12 and 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro. We spend a lot of time being judgmental, don't we? We want to judge others. We want to assume that our way is always the best way. And when we do that, we tend to push love out of the picture. God hates sin, get it straight, but he loves the sinner.
Yeah.
It's not an unconditional love the way the world, you know, it's not a conditional love the way the world gives it. So, you know, when we say that God is love and God loves, yes, he does, but the wages of sin are still death. If your paycheck and the work that you put in, amen, is sinful in nature, the check that you will cash is death. That does not mean that God does not love you. God loves you, but that does not mean that everything is okay, that everything is acceptable. Yes, God loves you, but the word says that if the work that you put in is sinful, the wages that you will get in return is death.
Yes. Amen.
Come on, somebody. God hates sin, loves the sinner. Not a conditional love the way the world gives. And I have a question today. Shouldn't the church be the same way?
Amen.
Shouldn't we love unconditionally?
Amen.
Said God hates sin, but loves the sinner. So when folks come into the church that don't look like us, oh, it's quiet. You're staring at me like I got something on me. When folks come into the church that don't look like us, that don't talk like us, that don't sound like us, that don't worship like us, that have some issues that we don't have, but we've got our own. Shouldn't we love them unconditionally rather than do this and say you're unfit to serve? I think I got 3/4 of you on that.
Okay.
All right, so we'll keep on moving. There was a pastor of a megachurch in California who dressed up like a homeless man and walked into his own church to see how he would be received by the people that he was shepherding. After he was finished, he quit. He left and started a small church on his own because the people that were responsible for being under his leadership escorted him out of the building. Said that you're not fit to be here. You need to go and clean yourself up. No one offered him anything to drink. No one offered him a washcloth. No one offered him any kind of way to make himself better. What they did was they tried to get him away so the folks could be comfortable.
My Lord. Mercy.
Amen.
Religion, the religious side of it. Sometimes Christians seem to measure out God's love with a teaspoon, but yet we expect it back in a truckload. We say God bless me, but when someone comes and needs to be blessed, we don't respond back with love.
That's right. Make it plain.
I'd like to make y'all hoop and holler, but I just got to talk to you today.
No,
because love is it's so important to us as a people.
Yeah.
It's so important for us to act better than we have been treated.
Amen.
Did you catch that?
Yeah.
It's so much more important for us to act better than we have been treated.
Mm-hmm.
To show love when we're not loved.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to show someone respect who doesn't respect you.
That's right.
And I encountered that with, and you'll find this odd knowing my persona, but I have a person that works for me that doesn't have a whole lot of respect for me. And I have responded to him with the same level of respect that I get back from him. And I said to myself, you know, and I was raised that way, you give what you get, you know, and that's not necessarily true. I had a conviction in my spirit that said, you know what, you have to show more love and respect regardless of what you're getting in return. Because when you treat someone, how you treat someone, regardless of what they can or cannot do for you, to you, or give you back, shows the true testament of your character. And so I went forward and I said to myself, I'm going to do this. And the response was amazing. First it was, where is Tim? But then I noticed that I started to get back some stuff that I had put in. I finally, after 7 years, started to see a return on the investment of teaching and time that I had put into someone that I felt at some point had become unworthy.
Yeah.
Did you miss that?
Right now.
Come on now. Speak to him.
And see, he doesn't talk like we talk. He doesn't believe like we believe.
Yeah.
So I felt that on some level, he wasn't worthy of everything that I had to give.
My Lord.
Now, here's the thing. The point of that is we pick and choose what scriptures we're going to use to beat folks up. Instead of looking at our own lives.
Yeah.
We pick and choose in the Bible what things we're going to use to pick on a certain group of folks or a specific person instead of looking at our own lives and saying, how can I love my way out of this situation?
Yeah. Yeah.
We can love our way out of stuff. We don't have to pick a scripture and throw it at someone like a stone. All we have to do is show love. Say neighbor, it's a love thing. We can't inspire and insult people at the same time. All we can do is preach Christ. I love you, but I would use you, but you can, but and then the preachers will say, but the Bible says the same grace that saved me. Come on. Come on now. The same grace that saved me, the same blood that washed me, the same love that sustains me is the same blood that you're going to need, and it's available to everybody. Y'all should have shouted on that. The same grace that, let me make it personal, the same grace that saved you, the same blood that washed you is the same blood that sustains you, and that's the same blood that the person on your right, on your left, to your front, and to your back, that is the same blood that is available to them just as it was for you. I say it all the time. The blood is for the prostitute just as well as the preacher. The addict just as well as the deacon. See, no angels or demons can do anything about it to affect the availability of God's love. God is too powerful to allow the availability of his love to not flow freely at all times. You have a powerful God who knows your needs. He knows your desires. You don't have them because you don't ask for them. You don't have them because you don't walk in it. You don't have them because you believe what your mama told you that said you never amount to anything. You believe it because someone told you you've been locked up, so you're not worthy to preach. You're not worthy to teach. You're not worthy to educate folks. See, you believe that stuff that somebody told you, but the reality the blood runs and it covers it all for everybody. Not even the world's sin, past or forevermore, is greater than the love and grace that God has provided for our forgiveness. Come on. Everything, powers are there, are powerless to change his love for us. And once you grab a hold of his love, it's yours. Come on. Once you grab a hold of his love, I'm going to talk to Minister Shea, Reverend Shea. Once you grab a hold of his love, doesn't it drive people crazy? Doesn't it irritate the mess out of them? Once you grab a hold of what God has for you, it irritates people. It makes them jealous. They get uncomfortable. They don't want to be around you. They want to talk about what you can and not what you're doing. They want to talk about what you can't do instead of what you can do. When you grab a hold of God's love, it drives the enemy crazy. Because I believe on some level they know that there's nothing that they can do about it. You want to make somebody mad, you get yourself in a position where there's nothing that anybody can do about it. Then you'll see very quickly who really loves you. Without love, we have nothing. Come on, without love, we have nothing. Without love, we have nothing. You all see what you see to the side of you. I look out and I see a whole bunch of different colors. I see suits and I see pretty scarves. I see jeans and t-shirts. To me, that is love. Everybody can get together. We don't have to look like each other and dress like each other. We just have to get in and get on one accord and get underneath what God has for us and watch it drive folks crazy. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but I don't have love, I'm nothing but a creaky, rusty gate. So that means it doesn't matter how smart you are, or how intelligent you think that you may sound. Without love, you just making some noise.
That's right.
I know he's a friend of mine. He will stand up at the in the pulpit and he will use such big words that if you don't have to, you have to record it because you got to go home and look them up and say, what in the world does that mean? What is it that he just said? Okay, I get it. You're educated, but tell me God loves me.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. It doesn't matter how smart you sound. Yeah. It doesn't matter how intelligent you are. If you don't love on folks, you are just a rusty, creaky gate.
Come on now.
If you speak God's word with power and you can reveal all the mysteries and making everything as plain as day, and I can have faith that says mountain move and the mountain will move, but I don't love y'all, I have nothing. You missed it. It doesn't matter how well you preach. It doesn't matter, really, how much faith you have. If you don't have any love, it doesn't make a difference. Okay, I can tell mountains to move, but if I don't love you, it doesn't matter. Because God is love. If I give everything I own to the poor and go back to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten really nowhere. No matter what I say, what I believe, what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. So it doesn't matter how much you give. Come on, somebody, because there are some people that feel that their the level of their worth is attached to how much they tithe. Amen, somebody. Come on, somebody. It doesn't matter how much you give. It doesn't matter how much you sacrifice. We appreciate it, and the Lord sees it. But if you have no love in it, you're bankrupt. So I ask you, what does your love look like today? Come on, what does your love look like today? Y'all are quiet. Love never gives up. It never gives up. So I ask you, are you fighting the good fight of faith?
Yeah.
Love cares more for others than for itself.
Yeah.
So what does your love life look like?
All right.
Come on
now, Pastor.
Love cares for others more than itself. So what does your love life look like? Don't turn to your partner. Don't say nothing. Just think about that thing. Amen?
All right.
Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. So what are you focused on?
See,
we're quiet. Love doesn't strut. So what does your walk look like?
Come on.
Love doesn't have a swelled head. The Bible says don't think more of yourself than you ought to. Love doesn't force itself on others. It draws. It doesn't push people away. It isn't always me first. And it doesn't always fly off the handle. And it doesn't keep score of other people's sins. It doesn't revel when others grovel. What it does do is it takes pleasure, in the flowering of truth. And where there is truth, there is love. Love puts up with anything. Come on. It trusts God always. Love always looks for the best, and love never looks back. Love keeps on going. When love comes strength, with strength comes faith, with faith comes power, with power comes a commitment, and with commitment you'll run on and see what the end is going to be. To get focused on loving one another. Come on, and praying for one another. And loving and teaching one another. When someone comes and says there's a better way and they do it in love, don't get mad. Say, what is the better way? When someone comes to you and say, okay, you dress is a little too short, don't get offended. It's just say, help me out. Come on. If it's done in love, it's done together as a family. And as a family who loves, we'll be strong. And as strong as we are, we can do anything that God asks us to do. But we've got to be together, and we've got to love one another. If somebody can sing better than you, then let them sing. You sing too, but give them the mic. If somebody can preach better than you, let them preach. If somebody can serve and they can do it better, learn from them. Don't be jealous. Don't be offended. Everything done in love and in unity. Come on, somebody. People come and they prophesy over your life. The Bible says that's just part of it.
That's right.
Nobody knows the whole story but God.
Yeah.
It's just part of it.
Yeah.
But it says that when the perfect thing comes, all that other stuff is going to fall by the wayside. See, so let God speak into your life, but understand that's just a part of that thing. When God comes, he's going to work it all out. Because we see through a glass, the Bible says. We see through it, and we see through it dark and dim. But when he comes, everything is going to come to the light. What's done in the dark will come to the light. So make sure when somebody shines their light on you, when somebody shines their light on you, when light hits light, you miss that. If you're dark and dirty and someone shines their light on you, it's going to show up all your dirt. It's going to show up all your jealousy. It's going to show how much you don't love. But if you've got the light of Jesus Christ on the inside of you, when you look through that mirror and someone shines a light on you, all they're going to see is light back. What does your light look like? Come on, somebody. Shout hallelujah. This is a love thing. You've got to love one another. You've got to love Jesus. If it hadn't been for love, none of us would have ever been saved. God looked down on us. I'm going to tell you the truth. He looked down on us and he was so sick and tired of us. He said, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill them. I did it once.
Yeah.
I sent water. They think I'm playing. They still had an opportunity to get it together. They still doing it their own way.
Yeah.
And I told them I wouldn't send any water. But next time I come, I'm going to send some fire down there on them. And you know what? They haven't done nothing since Noah. And I'm sick of them. But then love stepped into that thing. And his son said, Daddy, if you make me a body, I'll go town and I'll redeem man. And because of love, God said, I'm going to let you go. See, he didn't go on his own. He asked permission because there's order in the house. He said, if you make me a body, I'll go town. God said, I love him so much, I'm going to let you go because I love the world. I'm going to give him my only begotten son. So that whosoever shall believe upon me, they'll never perish, but they'll have everlasting life. In the name of love, son, go on down. And he went on down, and he came, and we did what we do to people. We talked about him. We mocked him. We smiled in his face. We said, Hosanna in the highest. And the next day we said, son? Raise your hand. How many have a son? How many have you had someone close to you like a son?
Yeah.
Would you send him down here? Knowing what was going to happen? All of y'all, don't tell a lie on Sunday. Put your hand down. That's love.
Yeah.
That's love. God, we thank you for love. We thank you for love. Simply, we thank you for being God. God is. God is. God is. You can put whatever word you want behind it. God is love. God is mercy. God is forgiveness. God is kind. God is just. He fights our battles. He said, vengeance is mine. Whatever we need, we put right behind that word is. And we've got it. He's a way maker. Don't you know that? Don't you know that whatever you need, God can make a way for that thing? Don't you understand that the battle has already been fought? The victory has already been won? God's grace, his mercy, his love, and his omnipotent presence has already been there and paid the price, because the battle has already been fought. Don't you understand that? We are struggling because we want to, because we don't really have to, because God is what? Whatever we need him to be. When you thought that that was the best that your life was ever going to be, and now you look back and think, how can I have ever even settled for that? God has what you need when you need it. You just have to love enough to get a hold of that thing, and don't worry about when folks start talking about you. Grab on to what God has for you in spite of the devil. If you've got a call to preach, then preach that thing. If you've got a gift to sing, then sing. Don't worry about people. Don't worry about how they look. Don't worry about what they say. Don't worry about what they do. If they go to sleep on you, if they lie on you, if they don't show up, if they don't support, God's just making room for other people to come in who need to hear what he has put down in your belly. So whatever God has put down in you, you do that thing. Do it with love. Because I know that he has truly made a way for me. God has really made a way for me. And when I think about how far he has brought me from, sometimes I just cry. Sometimes I just raise my hands and I just tell him, thank you. My housekeeper said to me the other day, I thought, who was upstairs with you? I said, nobody. She said, what was all that? I said, I was just talking to the Lord. I was just walking around and thanking him for everything that he's done and every way that he has made for me. Y'all ought to do that. He's a way maker. The old folks, they used to say that he is a way maker. They used to say that he would make a way somehow. He used to say that you will make a way somehow. And I remember those old deacons would stand up, and they would stand up and they would say, I don't know about you, but God has been good to me. He would say, I don't know about you, but God has been good to me. And the deacons would say, I'm not a singer, but if you open up your hymn book around page 286, you will see it says, like a ship that's tossed and driven. And they would sit together and they couldn't sing, and neither can I. But if we try it, it says, like a ship that's tossed and driven, we're battered by an angry sea. When the storms of life are raging, well, and their fury falls on me, well, the church are open.